In the times in which we're living, it seems, beloved, that death surrounds us. More and more, we're hearing about people dying at a younger age. And you wonder, what is going on? And then you have to ask, and what will happen to them? What happens to us when we die? That's something that you and I need to know and understand, and we need to be able to explain it to others. And that's what we're going to see in our study today. Have something very funny that we do here at Precept Ministries to the staff, especially the older staff. It started and it became a habit. And so we have a different birthday song, and we'll stand up and we'll sing, "Happy, happy birthday, sin and sorrow in the air. People dying everywhere. Happy, happy birthday." Sobering, isn't it? You know, it's not a very joyous song, and yet sin and sorrow is in the air, and people are dying everywhere. And every birthday lets us know that God has given us one more year that is to be lived for Him. Remember, we're looking at Philippians chapter 1, and in Philippians chapter 1, Paul has made the statement that he wants Christ to be exalted in his body, whether by life or by death, because in Philippians 1, verse 21, he lets us know what his life is all about. He says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Well, in our last program, I left you with the fact of what's going to happen to a Christian when they die. So let's do a quick review so that you understand what's going to happen to you if you are a true believer, a genuine believer in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not talking, beloved, just about a person who goes to church. I'm not talking about a person who was merely baptized, or a person who was confirmed, or a person who is a member of a denomination such as the Catholic Church that is told, okay, because you're a Catholic and if you die without any mortal sins, you're going to go immediately to heaven. I'm not talking about any other religion apart from Christianity. I'm talking about only those who have seen that they are sinners, who have received Jesus Christ, who have believed on Him with all their heart, and who have begun to live according to the words of God. I'm talking about a person whose life has been changed, who has become a new creature in Christ Jesus, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, so that all things have become new and old things have passed away. I'm talking about a person, like Romans 6 says, who is no longer a slave to sin, but who has died with Christ, has been buried with Christ, and has been raised with Christ to walk in newness of life. I'm talking about a person who has fellowship with Jesus Christ, and thus with God, and thus with the Holy Spirit, and sharing in common that life, and therefore no longer living in habitual sin, therefore able to love other people, and therefore able to understand the Word of God. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about a true, genuine Christian. Not mere profession of the lips, but a possession within the life. That's what I'm talking about. So if you are a true Christian, the minute you die, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's look at it, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, 2 Corinthians 5, 8, it says, "We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." In other words, there's no such thing as soul sleep. And there's no such thing as just lying in the grave until the great resurrection comes, the resurrection of the dead and the resurrection of the Christians, or of the unjust and the just. There's no soul sleep. The minute you die, you're absent from the body and you're present with the Lord. So this is what happens. Here's your body and here are you in your body. All of a sudden, you depart out of your body, you go, and immediately you wake up in the presence of the Lord. Your body is still down here on earth. They will either bury it, or they will cremate it, or it drowned at sea, or something happened to it, so it disappeared. But God knows where that body is. All right, now what is going to happen? Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and that's where I left you last week. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he tells us what's going to happen. He says, I do not want you to be uninformed, brethren. In other words, duh, I don't want you, duh. I want you, oh, yes, I know, I understand. He says, I do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. Now, whenever they talk about a Christian dying, they simply talk about a Christian sleeping. Doesn't mean they stay in the grave. Like I said, it's not soul sleep. It means it's like you go to sleep and immediately you wake up in the presence of Christ. That's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It wouldn't be gain if you were just in the ground. It wouldn't be gain if you were just asleep. It wouldn't be gain if you were a Rip Van Winkle. I don't know if you ever remember that fairy tale, but I mean, he slept so long and then he awakened. So it's not a Rip Van Winkle kind of thing. To be with Christ is gain, because immediately you're in his presence. So he says, I don't want you to be uninformed, duh, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as the rest do who have no hope. What he has just told you is there are two categories of people. When they die, there's those that have hope and there's those that do not have hope. All right. And so he says, I don't want you to grieve like others that have no hope. He says, I want to tell you what's going to happen. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, if you believe in the death of Jesus Christ, the burial of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel. So if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him. Now you've got to stop and say, okay, who's the him? The him is Jesus. He's just been talking about Jesus. So he's saying God will bring with him, with Jesus, those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. So what has he just told you? Those who fall asleep with in Jesus wake up in the presence of Jesus. So Jesus in heaven is going to bring those that died with him. With him where? Well, that's a good question, and that's a question you ought to ask. Remember, we're studying the Bible inductively, and remember that one of the questions in observation is when. It's the five W's and an H. Who and what and when and where and why and how. And if you don't understand this, maybe it's because you haven't yet taken advantage of this wonderful opportunity that we have for you, and that is to download absolutely free the study guide on Philippians. And you can just go to preceptsforlife.com and download it. That's preceptsforlife.com and download it. And I'm just beaming because I get excited about the fact that you and I are going to study the Word of God together and go even deeper than we can through the media of this communication, because then you can see it for yourself. Verse 15. He says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain. So just imagine somebody standing down here alive on earth. And it says, for we who are alive and who remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Now watch what it says. It says, for we say this to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, Jesus Christ is going to come again, shall not precede those that have fallen asleep. Okay, here's the person that's alive and remaining. Here's the person that's asleep. Just imagine them in your mind. All right, when Jesus Christ comes, then those who are alive and remain are going to meet the Lord in the air, but they're not going to get, so to speak, a 6-foot start on them, because those that have died, their bodies will be resurrected. Watch what he says. For the Lord himself, Jesus himself in person, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. I mean, da 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 da. It is quite an event. And it does not go unannounced by the archangel. It does not go unannounced by the trumpet. And all of a sudden, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord where? In the air. All right. So this, and it says, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So what's going to happen? Jesus is going to leave heaven. He's going to bring you with him. And when he brings you with him, then you are going to go back into that dead body. And this mortal, and I'm going to show you this in just a minute, is going to put on immortality. And then you are going to be caught up with those that are alive and remain to meet the Lord in the air. And it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So when Christ redeemed you, he not only redeemed your soul, but he redeemed your spirit. He redeemed your body. Let me show you this in one scripture, then we'll take a break, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 15. But in Ephesians, in this wonderful epistle of Ephesians chapter 1, it says this. It says, and when you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge, a guarantee of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. The redemption of God's own possession is that he's going to redeem your body because he bought you lock, stock, and body, lock, stock, and barrel when he saved you. We'll talk about it when we come back. Glad you came back. Isn't this exciting, beloved? Do you realize that I never, ever knew this? I never knew this until I was over 30 years old. I didn't know that Jesus Christ was coming back again. I went to church. I'd been baptized. I had been confirmed. They read a little bit out of the Gospels. They read a little bit out of the epistles at church, but I never heard a message on it. I never knew that Jesus was coming again. Now, this is just part of his coming. I mean, then he's going to rule and reign on the face of this earth. But what is so exciting is to go back to 1 Thessalonians, and let me show you one little word that I think that will help you understand and appreciate this. And it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I want to read verse 16. It's in verse 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them, with the dead in Christ, and that word caught is harpazo, H-A-R-P-A-Z-O in the Greek, H-A-R-P-A-Z-O, and it means to catch. It means to catch up. It means to seize. It means to carry away. It has the idea of a force behind it, and a force that is suddenly exercised. And this is what's going to happen. And many people, because of the word harpazo, have called it rapture, the rapture of the believers. And so this is the time then when those who are alive and remain are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and where the spirit and the body are reunited. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the great chapter on the resurrection. And this is where Paul defines it as a mystery. Remember, I told you that a mystery is something that has been hidden until God has chosen to reveal it. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is what it says. It says in verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable has put on the imperishable, in other words, when we've got our grand new body, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, and both of those have been fulfilled and taken care of through the gospel of Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to the conclusion. Therefore, when you see a therefore, look and see what the therefore is there for, because it's a term of conclusion. Now it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. In other words, for you to live is Christ, and it's not in vain. It is going to be rewarded. But what about those that die apart from Christ? Well, if you die apart from Christ, then you go to a place that we call hell or Hades. And I want you to go in your Bible to Luke chapter 16. And in Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells us about this place. All right, Luke chapter 16. And he tells us about it in relating a true story. He's talking about a man who dies, a poor man who dies, and a rich man who dies. And it says in verse 22, now it came about that the poor man died, and he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away, and Lazarus, this is the poor man, in his bosom. It's not the Lazarus that came out of the grave. It's a different Lazarus. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, this is the rich man, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue. Now listen carefully, for I am in agony in the flame. I am in agony in the flame. So what do you have? You have people in Abraham's bosom, and you have people in Hades, and they're in agony in the flame, but they can see the people in the other side, and they're saying, Father Abraham, send Lazarus over here that he might dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. And Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life, you receive good things, and likewise, Lazarus, bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us, there is a great chasm fixed. And in order that those that wish to come over here from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there, from the torment, to us. And he said, then I beg you, Father, that you may send someone to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. What do you see? You see that there was a place of torment. A place of torment called Hades, where they could look over and they could see a place that was called paradise. And when they looked at that place called paradise, which was Abraham's bosom, they wanted someone to come over and help him. But what does he say? There's a great chasm fixed. And because there's a great chasm, we can't go from one to the other. In other words, it's during your lifetime that you make your decision as to where you're going to spend eternity. If you believe in Jesus, then you go to paradise. You say, but I thought I went to be with Jesus. That's right. And what you see is after the death of Jesus, because he had to be the first one to rise from the dead, then those in Abraham's bosom, paradise, were taken up to be in heaven. Remember, Jesus said to the man on the cross that believed on him and said, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. He says, this day you will be with me in paradise. In 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, it tells us that Paul, when he had an experience out of the body, he knew a man caught up to paradise, to the third heaven. So once Jesus Christ died and paid for the sins of those who believed in him, those people were caught up to heaven. And that's where the saved people go now. But the others go to the place called Hades. And they stay there until Revelation chapter 20. And in Revelation chapter 20, it says this in verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Only those who have believed in Jesus have life. They pass from death to life. They pass from the power of Satan into the kingdom of God. They are slaves of sin, and they are set free by Jesus Christ, and they go to be with God. Otherwise, beloved, if you do not know God, you will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Hades will go into the lake of fire. You need to believe. You need to call upon the name of the Lord today that you might be saved.
The Encounter Student Conference is more than an experience. It is a weekend designed to encourage and equip students in the Word of God and establish a process of discipleship that they can continue to walk out in their homes and churches. Over the course of the weekend, students and their leaders will encounter God while learning practical skills that will allow them to dig into the Word through the inductive study method. It is our hope that these skills would equip students and leaders to build a lifestyle that constantly seeks to be transformed by God's truth. This year at the conference, your groups will walk together through the 40-minute study, Ignite Your Passion for God, to discover how to cultivate a deep desire for the Lord. The Encounter Student Conference will help your group create a community that is built on a common foundation, the truth that you are discovering together. Come and ignite your passion for God with us December 2nd through the 4th. Go to transformstudent.org and register today for the Encounter Student Conference.
Beloved, are you listening carefully? Are you following along in the Word of God? Are you seeing these truths for yourself? So often when we listen to the Word of God, all we do is listen. And there is power in the Word of God, and there's power in hearing the Word of God. But many times we just get a message and we don't move through the text, and we don't see what it's saying for ourselves. And you need to know, and you need to understand truth for yourself. Remember, Paul's prayer for the church at Philippi was that they would have, that their love would abound through real knowledge and in all discernment. So when you have real knowledge, then that gives you discernment about everything that you're hearing. So you need to take what I am saying to you, and you need to go, and you need to study it. In 2 Corinthians, as Paul wrote and brought that second epistle to a close, he said, I want you to examine yourself to see if you really are in the faith. How do you see if you're in the faith? Well, James tells us in the second chapter, you see if you're in the faith by the changed life. So if you don't have a changed life, then I would challenge you to get on your face and say, God, I thought I was a Christian. I've borne the title, but my life has never been changed. And I don't want to spend eternity in Hades and then go from Hades to the lake of fire where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. I want to have life. I don't want to experience a second death. I don't want to be dead in my trespasses and sins and never know what it is to have life because I don't have Christ and then experience a second death. I want to live with you. I want to be your man. I want to be your woman. I want to be your teenager. I want to love you like Paul loved you. I want my desire for you to be exalted in my flesh. I want that to be the governing passion of my life. Oh, God, I'm crying to you. I'm crying to you, save me. I'm crying to you, give me your Spirit. I'm crying to you, take me from death to life. And when you cry to him, beloved, his ear is open to your cry, and he says, you're mine.
Thank you for watching today's program. To study along with us, download your free copy of the Philippians Study Guide by logging on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. And to find out more about Precept Ministries International, or if you're looking for a Precept Bible study class in your area, click onto our website or call us today, 1-800-763-1990.